Britain.
The campaign in Scotland. Tables turned. For once, it is not the Labour Party that is feeling the heat.
There's a lot of aggression on the doorsteps, says Ronnie Cowan, who's running for re-election as the Scottish National Party, or SNP, candidate in Inverclyde and Renfrewshire West, a constituency not far from Glasgow. The mood is worse, he says, than the past three elections he fought, than the Scottish independence referendum of 2014 and than the European Union referendum of 2016. Previously they'd have said, no thank you, mate. Now there's effing and blinding. Mr. Cowan blames the baleful influence of social media. But another trend also explains the abuse, the precipitous decline of the SNP's standing among the electorate. It now trails the Labour Party by 31 percentage points to 40, according to The Economist's poll tracker, down from a thumping lead of 47 points to 14 in January 2020. Like the Tories, it's worked through three leaders since then. Nicola Sturgeon resigned in 2023 amid a party finance scandal. Her successor, Hamza Yousaf, stepped down in May to be replaced by John Swinney. Our prediction model offers a central scenario of the SNP taking 24 seats in Scotland, half the number it took in 2019. Labour, which was the dominant party in Scotland for the half century before the 2014 referendum, is also seeing changed behaviour as a result. One of its candidates recalls how an activist was once chased down the street by a voter with a chainsaw. It's nice that people don't call us the C-word as much now. The full extent of Labour's recovery on July 4th depends on a three-pronged strategy. The first is to present Labour as an instrument for change that channels Scots' dissatisfaction, both with the SNP, after 17 years running the devolved Scottish government in Edinburgh, and with the Tories, after 14 years in charge of Westminster. People tell me why they want them out. When I ask who, they mean both of them, says Martin McCluskey, Mr. Cowan's Labour opponent in Inverclyde and Renfrewshire West. The second strand of strategy is to tread lightly on the constitutional issue that still cleaves the electorate in general and Labour voters in Scotland in particular. Nearly a decade since Scotland rejected independence by a margin of 55 to 45, the country remains divided on the question, by 52 to 48, excluding those who don't know, according to new polling for The Economist by Savanta. Those preferences are softening only at a glacial pace. Survey respondents were also asked to say how certain they were in their view. Some 66% of no to independence voters and 60% of yes voters gave a score of 10, meaning they were absolutely certain. That's a fall from 73% and 63% respectively when we last asked this question in February 2022. Sir Keir Starmer, the Labour leader, offers a conciliatory form of unionism in response. He promises a less hostile relationship between politicians in London and Edinburgh. I do understand the sentiment that leads a number of people to say, after 14 years of being shackled to this Tory government in Westminster, we'd be better off out, he told The Economist during a visit to the constituency. The third prong is to advertise the most interventionist elements of Labour's agenda. Sir Keir was visiting to promote plans for a state-owned energy company, which will be based in Scotland. North of the border, he talks of a union based on the solidarity of working people, which is not the sort of thing he says in Stevenage. This tactic is designed to blunt the SNP's attacks on Sir Keir for disappointing progressives on immigration, the EU, private provision in the NHS and more. Mr. Cowan's leaflets highlight occasions when Labour frontbenchers have praised Margaret Thatcher, who's blamed by many in the area for the collapse of shipbuilding and other heavy industries. What on earth has happened? I don't recognise this Labour Party, he says. The desire to contain the SNP in Scotland may push a future Labour government to the left. The SNP's struggles are not just good news for Labour, they also offer a rare glimmer of hope for the Tories. Although polls suggest that the party will suffer brutal losses across England and Wales, our model suggests that the Scottish Conservatives will hold six of their seven seats. Douglas Ross, the leader, even predicts they'll make gains by focusing on underperformance in health and schooling, which the Scottish government runs, and by drawing attention to Scotland's tax burden, which has risen faster than England's. Mr. Ross has carefully differentiated his party from its brethren in London, and since the Scottish Tory coalition is overwhelmingly drawn from unionists, he openly urges his supporters to use the election to squash the prospect of a second referendum. This could be a defining moment in Scottish politics, he says. The SNP can have a truly terrible night, which ends the obsession with independence. In truth, the constitutional question is not going to disappear, but a bad night for the nationalists is more likely than not.